Father, we approach your word with reverence. Father, we're excited this morning because your spirit always has something good for your people. And as you shared it with my heart, I'm going to share it with theirs. And Father, may they be blessed as we enter into the word of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Mark 4. Verse 14, and the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, this is an interesting statement. Satan comes immediately. How many of you remember when you first started really trusting on the Word of God, it seemed like all hell broke loose in your life? Well, we do not have an unworthy opponent. We have a worthy opponent over our lives. Now, if you have anything good to say about the devil, is he smarter than the average Christian bear? But it shouldn't be that way. But notice, he comes immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in the hearts. And of course, we understand as we read the passage where he has the ability to remove it. One is hard ground. Some of us are not too pliable with our life. We want everyone to fit into our little world, but we don't want to give much for anybody else. Well, that's wrong groundwork for God's Word to work in your heart and life. As a matter of fact, it says these people receive it immediately with gladness, but through affliction and persecution, immediately they are offended. It's like they expect God to do them a favor when they receive the Word of God. You know, wrong attitude. Next, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of money, the desires of other things, they enter in. And here's how Satan removes it. He removes the life of the Word of God. Because the word here, it says choke the word, literally is the word that you use that term, meaning to put your hands around somebody's throat and squeeze till you remove their life. And that's Satan's number one goal, is to remove the life of the word in your life. Now, this morning, my message is this. Satan's number one goal is to attack three areas of your life to keep you out of the position that you need to be in. Number one, he wants to convince you that you have little faith. He wants to convince you that you have little faith. Number two, he does not want you to know your redemptive rights. Your redemptive rights. And of course, the third one is, he does not want you to have confidence in the Word of God. He would much rather have you view everything from your perspective than God's. Turn over to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And we'll get right into this because we're not going to go on very lengthy. Doesn't need lengthiness to understand these areas. In Exodus chapter 3, let's go to verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and that bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptian, and to bring them out of that land unto a good land, and a large unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Bezerites, and the Terminites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and the, all these little zites, you know. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I also have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly, I've chosen you because you are able to do the thing that I ask you to do. Is that what's written there? And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, And they shall say to me, What is his name? And what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen what I have done unto you, and I have said, I will bring you out of the affliction of the Egyptians unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hittites and all that. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of Hebrews hath met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by the mighty hand, and so forth and so on. Now notice this, chapter 4. And Moses answered and said, you know, Moses would have been better off to keep his mouth shut. But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appointed unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is it that is in thy hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. And of course it turned into a snake. And he goes on and on and on and on. And everything that God tells Moses to do, Moses has got an argument. Now here's another thing that's very interesting. Gideon. In Judges, chapter 6, verse 11, let's go there. Let's go to verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah. Not the one on TV. That pertained unto Joas, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said, here we go, unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Why have not I sent thee? And he said to him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Now, if you read on, you'll find that Gideon had a believing problem, even down to complaining to the Lord and saying how much he needed to make this thing work, got over into his own brain, and God says, Oh, I'll give you what you need. You don't need thousands of men. Just a handful. Got down to what? 300 men. Now I want you to go against myriads and myriads with 300 men. Boy, that's a taxing thing on your thinking, is it not? Is it not? Now, who else do we have to look to that God asked him to do something, but he didn't hesitate? Who? David. King David. That's why David was a man after God's own heart. David knew how to trust God. David knew how to sin, too. But he knew how to trust God. There's another one that's very interesting. His name is Joshua. Matter of fact, go to Joshua chapter 1. Go to Joshua chapter 1. You see, actually Joshua finished the book of Deuteronomy. And he was the one that had to follow up after Moses. And so God approached Joshua. Now, here Moses was literally the leader of this nation. And now he's gone, and Joshua has to take up the slack. He now has to lead these people on into the promised land. And that's not an easy task for anybody. Especially a stiff-necked, hard-nosed bunch of people. Didn't know how to believe God. And look what he tells Joshua. He says in verse 7, Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou mayest go, and this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Third time. Now, what were the three things I said that Satan wants? He wants you to believe you have little faith. Amen? What was the second one? He wants you to be ignorant of your redemptive rights. And number three, he does not want you to have confidence in the Word of God. Because Satan's number one job is to remove the Word of God from your life in a way that it has life in your midst. I've learned something about the Word of God. I can always question whether I'm in faith or not. But I'll never question my obedience to the Word of God in spite of what I feel. Now I'm going to tell you something. These men had a task. They were told to do something. And they sat there and they coughed up excuses right and left. That is basically the problem that a lot of us have over the Word of God in our life, is we always have to come up with some form of excuse. You know what life is full of, people? I'll tell you what life is full of. It's full of excuses, but it needs to be full of the Word of God. Gideon, Joshua, Moses. These people were called to do something, and God said, even though they complained and everything, God said something to them. He said, I'm with you. You know what the problem with us is? If our fellowship in the presence of God is weak in our life, then you're going to face life without the reality of the presence of God in your life. You know, life will get into you, and the presence of that life will get into you to where you ain't even feel God's around you. But He is, whether you feel it or not. And when the Word of God is literally has no life in you, then it's just merely a thought process, a church acquainting, rather than a lifestyle. Now these guys, they came out all kinds of walks of life. But when they met God, their life was not the same. These men turned the world upside down. Yeah, I'm preaching to myself here today. Moses, you know, probably, you know what, really, if you really close your eyes and let the Holy Ghost take you back to that time, I could see Moses tending them sheep and turn around and see this bush. He probably sat there for quite a while looking at it. Man, that sucker should be burnt down by now. Man, that thing, wow. Whew. That little sucker, man, it's sticking right there and it's on fire. Got his curiosity, got right there, got into the presence of God. You know when you hear God? When you're in His presence. You know when you hear the world? When you're in the world's presence. Some Christians say, I just want God to do something. God's saying, I wish you'd get into my presence so I can speak to you. Right. Now, you know something? Moses was not no ordinary man talking about Pharaoh in Egypt. God picked on somebody that knew the place. He's picked on somebody he lived in their household. He says, I want you to do a job there, Moses, for me. He says, I want you to go and deliver the nation of Israel. Can you imagine what was going through Moses' mind? You don't have any idea what you're saying. You know what this guy's like? And then God says, just speak. Just speak what I tell you. Well, you know what Moses did? He said, but I can't speak to Pharaoh like, because he was a what? Stutterer. And God said, well, if that's your problem, I'll give you Aaron. I'll give you somebody that won't stutter. But go. He tells Joshua, he says, Joshua, here's what I want you to do. I want you to meditate my word day and night, and don't let it come out but your mouth. Let it come out of your mouth. My word, my law, my statutes. Now I'm going to ask you something, like I asked my Sunday school class. We're having a good time in there, are we not? I asked them this question. Why was God so emphatic about the Word? You know, it's very carnal minds in the church of God can be very dangerous. There are doctrines, Christians come up with doctrines of the sovereignty of God. This wouldn't have happened to me if God had not allowed it. Well, then where is your command of authority? Let me ask you something. If Joshua never would let the word come out of his mouth, would that not stop Joshua from succeeding? Really? I want you to think about that statement. Would, if Joshua never let the word of God come out. He never meditated, never let the word of God come out of his mouth. Huh?
It would stop him.
Would that stop him? Huh? Would that stop him? Wrong. It won't stop Joshua. It would stop God. You know what God looks for? He looks for vessels that He can watch over His word to perform it. Why? Because the authority has been given to the inhabitants of the earth. And God will back His word in the earth because He gave it so that He could move on it. Joshua, if he didn't open his mouth, it would have literally shut God down. But when Joshua opened his mouth, it gave God the opportunity to move and function on planet earth. He said, Joshua, there was one time he told Joshua, he says, you might not understand it, but if you meditate it and you speak it, I'll do the rest. The problem with many of us is that we believe that God will join us. God's not looking for you to join Him. God is looking to release Himself through you. Many of you have redemptive rights and you're not partaking of them because somebody preached some weird doctrine in your head that God hath not said, but God did say in His redemptive rights to you. It belongs to you, but He needs your authority to exercise it. You know, the devil, he is a crafty man. He wants to attack your redemptive rights because he don't want you to act on them in obedience. He doesn't want you to know that God's presence is with you all the time. And listen, God isn't like you attending church. God's at church every Sunday. God doesn't look for excuses. Jesus brought that issue up. Who wants to follow me and be a winner of souls? Well, I'd like to do it, Jesus, but I bought a bunch of cattle. I ain't proved yet, and I got to go prove them. What an idiot. Well, I got a wife. Oh, how many times have you... I got a wife. I got to go take care of her. World's full of excuses. But guess what? I don't care what position the world's in. God's always the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He ain't working on your behalf, because you're not interested. What if Moses said, well, that's all fine and dandy, but when you got down to the stick, God, got down to this stick, I'm not interested in going against Pharaoh with that rod. And yet that rod was his greatest defense. Why? Because it wasn't the stick. It was the one behind the stick. See, that's why He doesn't want you to have confidence in the Word, because the Word releases God in you. It doesn't release you. You can't do anything in yourself. Paul the Apostle said, hey, without Him, I'm nothing. We seem to, you know what it is? It's pride in your heart. When you seem to think that God's going to tell, I heard Christians say, I know God told me to do that, but I ain't going to do that. Well, good luck. Then you're on your own. Hey, what's that big mouth over there? What's he doing? What's he saying? Hey, now how come you guys are putting up with this? David was appalled. He said, don't we have a cause here? Isn't this the army of the living God? You have no idea, Pastor, what I'm going through. God knows what you go through every minute of your day. But God's not interested in what you're going through. God's interested in what He can do in you. It's a proven fact there are more Christians sick than ought to be. Why? I'll tell you why. It is not a redemptive problem. Matter of fact, if Moses got halfway there to deliver, can you imagine what he was thinking going there? I'm going to enter into the courts of Pharaoh. And the only thing that I'm going to say is, I am, said, let my people go. I want you to think about that. God, you know what I need? I need the armed forces behind me, saith Gideon. I need the army, the navy, and the marines. I need Coast Guard. I reserve units. I need everything. No, you don't. But you have no idea what I'm going up against. No, you don't. You know something, people? You have no idea what God can do on your authority. You haven't even tapped it yet. God don't care if you start out with an aspirin. But God wants to get so big in your life, you don't even think aspirin. You know what I mean? God wants to grow in your mentality. And then we got Christians coming along and speaking against God. Well, you know. I'll never forget this one lady in this restaurant. And she was overhearing us talk about God and everything in this restaurant. And finally she sat down and she says, I'm full of cancer. And she says, I want to live. I said, how old are you? So she told me. And all of a sudden the anointing of God came on me. And man, I started preaching to her. If I can just move her over in the area of understanding faith. Now I'm having to dump a whole lot on her. And then I'm going to lay hands on her. And when I laid hands on her, it was like I laid hands on a wall socket, man. The power of God hit her. And I knew she got it. And just before they left, her friend came over and sat down beside me and said, Pastor, I believe everything he said, but she's going to go back into her church. And they're saying things like, it is the will of God. Sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so believed God for the same thing. Didn't get it. And see, right away I know, you get back into an environment of unbelief and doubt. And I'm going to tell you something. What if Pharaoh is sitting there and Moses comes up and says, so the I Am sent you. You know, God hardened Pharaoh's heart because of what he was asking and did. God said, I want to have my people whether you like it or not. And that ticked Pharaoh off. It's all right to say ticked. You know, the world will speak to you all the time. It'll give you a hope that is not a God kind of hope. You got to have the God kind of hope in your life. The world says this, but listen, God isn't of this world. He doesn't bow down to this world. He moves the world aside for your life. You just have to believe it. Can you imagine God all of a sudden gets you out from Pharaoh and this whole nation and you come up against the Red Sea? Some people say it was only a foot deep. What a bunch of idiots. Oh, one little old lady went and screamed and said, glory to God, Pharaoh's army drowned in a foot of water. That's something. And the people said, what are you going to do? We brought us out here and now the army's coming. They're going to wipe us out. I'm going to tell you something. With every success you have, Satan's wait for you to lay back so he can hit you with another one. So what did Moses do? He goes before God and says, God, what are we going to do? You know that stick? Oh, we got to go back to the stick thing. You want me to build a raft out of this sucker for these people? Can you imagine what he was thinking? It's kind of like, Moses, just take the stick and stick it out over the water. I'll never forget that joke. I can't help but tell it. This Christian gets a flat tire in the middle of the night, black, pitch black. He goes out to repair the tire and falls. And he's a falling and scrambling as he's falling because it's pitch black. And he grabs a hold of something, a branch. And he hangs on to that sucker. And he says, oh my God, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. I'm falling. Speak a word. Let go. Lord, help me. I got this twig. I'm holding on. I'm falling. Help, Lord. Let go. Is there anybody else up there? So he can't hang on any longer, and he lets go and drops a foot. Oh. I know what that feels like. Our ministry was on the line. I went to God, and I was so caught up in disaster, all I could do was laugh. I couldn't even cry. I just laughed. God, Do you know what's happening? I said, give me a word. Just give me a word. Give me a word. God has given some of you a word and you laughed at it. You know what God told me? You shall know the truth and it'll set you free. Give me more. Give me a panoramic vision of how I'm going to walk out of this mess. Do you think God did that with Moses? Gave him a panoramic vision? No, he said, you go, and when you speak, I'll act. Well, then it changed today. When you go, you speak, and God will act. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Your redemptive rights, let's take a look at it. If you don't have confidence in the Word of God, you're never going to exercise your redemptive rights. And if you don't exercise them, then God can't do nothing about it. Everything that God has done is already established. Healing is an established fact. That guy said, if my wife or my girlfriend goes back in that church, I'm afraid she's not going to make it, because what we were saying to her was totally contrary to what was going on in that church. I'm going to tell you, the devil has a lot of churches locked up, bad doctrine. He says, how do I answer? And I looked at her and I says, lady, if anybody talks contrary to your redemptive rights for your healing, they are liars, and the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, will give you witness in your heart. You can be healed. She's dead. She went back to that church. I try to encourage her, change your environment. There's laws of association that will destroy you. You hang with negative people, you're going to be negative. You hang with positive people, you're going to be positive. You hang with complainers, you're joining the people that you are. You got to make a decision. Change your lifestyle. You got to make a decision. Don't be church. Don't allow yourself to be church. Allow yourself to go forward like Moses, Gideon, Joshua, David. David was, he got everybody's attention. He says, what in the world is the matter with a bunch of you people? What's wrong with you? Hey, I tested this on a bear. I tested on the lion. It works. I'm going to go ahead and take it. Somebody said, well, I need to pick up 5 smooth stones. David wasn't after Goliath. He wanted 5 rocks to start with the whole army. Some Christians come up with, well, he must have been in some unbelief. He picked up 5 rocks. Why even bring that issue up? I tell you, I would have probably been looking for a submachine gun or something like that. A howitzer or a bazooka, you know. I wouldn't have carried 5 bazookas. Unless I decided I'm going to take out more than one guy. Well, David, just start with one. Go ahead and go with the rest. No, God is on your side. Whether you don't think He's there or not, He's there. He'll never leave you or forsake you. His presence is there. It's you that get out of His awareness of His presence. I was asked to do some things this week that in the natural I couldn't. I started asking God. God says, you got to just shoot your sights higher. You just got to look at things from a different perspective, not from what's around you, but from a different perspective. Boy, it gives you strength. It gives you encouragement. You got to learn to shift your thinking. You got to think like God thinks. Can you imagine how these guys thought? Gideon, thou man of God.
What are we going to do?
You're only giving me a little handful of men. What are we going to do? Because God's behind that handful of men. What do you think? Do you think God was ever going to do anything for anybody on their ability? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but it's according to the power that is at work within you. Got to read the whole chapter there. And listen, people, you might not feel you have great faith. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't believe little faith will move a mountain. That is a lie sold out of the pit of hell. There is not one good thing to say about a man who has little faith. It produced nothing. It's as a grain of mustard seed. You got to put it in the ground. You got to water that puppy, and it's got to develop into a tree. That's what moves mountains. A fully developed seed, not the seed. Jesus said, "Oh, little you of little faith." But see, the devil wants you to think you have little faith. You know what? When I think that my faith is little to attack something, you know what I do? I forget about how big my faith is, and I say, obedience. I'm just going to be obedient. Sometimes you ain't got nothing else but obedience. You don't feel like you're in faith. You got this brain up here speaking against you, and you just got to say, I don't care what you tell me, brain. Somebody told me, you're living on a different planet. You're just living on a different planet. You're not living in reality. You got that right, Jack. God lives on a different planet. Yep. Couldn't you see all these arguments these guys gave God? What if God said, you know, you're right. I forgot all about that. Man, I never thought of that. Gosh. Well, I don't know how you do it, Moses, but that's what I commanded you to do. Just go do it. He didn't send Moses. He sent himself through Moses. It wasn't Gideon. He just wanted the vessel so that Gideon would go in the name of the Lord. That's all God looks for is your authority. He gave it to you, the church. Ephesians says that. When he ascended up on high and gave me, he gave everything back to the church. Now it's in your hands to do it. If you don't do it, God ain't going to do it. Why? Because it's your authority. He gave it, now you use it. Just think if you're over there in Iraq and you got a bunch of Iranians coming at you, they're going to kill you. And the military gave you all this equipment to knock them out. What are you going to sit there and say, oh boy, I hope they don't do nothing to me. Oh, and throw the gun down. Oh, that puts you full of holes. You look like Swiss cheese. You got to take what they gave you and use it. You guys get something here today. Don't let the devil run you around. Don't let him tell you that God's not going to watch over His word to perform it. Get scriptures out and say, my Lord said He hadn't put His word into the earth for it not to prosper, but to deal out bread for the eater. Hallelujah. He watches over His word to perform it. He doesn't watch over your word to perform. He didn't watch over Gideon's word to perform. He didn't operate over Moses' word to perform. Moses even said, I have a speech impediment. What you going to do now, God? You go call somebody else. You know, every one of you, I want to see it, show a hand. How many of you know God called you into His kingdom? Okay, all them hands, success. Amen. The only thing you would not succeed in is that Satan would get into your thinking in one of these three areas. You don't have adequate faith. Do you know your faith within itself is not adequate? That's when I feel that within me, I'm just going to be obedient. When you start thinking that way, it really chokes you up when you make decisions. Most Christians make decisions, never follow through with them. Why? Because they're not really committed to them anyway. Did you guys get something here today? Stand up. You don't lack the ability of faith. You can be obedient. Well, I'll tell you what, God will prove Himself strong on your behalf. Hallelujah. If you don't have confidence in the Word of God, make sure that your environment's conducive to what you need. Don't hang around unbelief, doubt. Don't hang around redemptive abusers. That's what I call them, redemptive abusers. If God said it, you got to believe it. And if you don't believe it, be obedient to it. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Wrong. If God said it, whether you believe it or not, it's settled. I hate those religious little sayings because they rob us of our faith. If you were the only one on planet Earth, God would still come for you. Nobody on planet Earth would ever receive Him, He still would have come and made the redemptive way, period, over and out, whether you would receive Him or not. Why? He's looking for the rights to bring judgment. And the only way is to bring judgment upon Himself first. Glory to God. Don't you love the Lord? I'll tell you why, He loves you. I'll tell you, if every one of you that raise your hand, you know without a shadow of a doubt that God has called you into His kingdom. He has not called you into His kingdom to suffer adversity against what He has given you to begin with. Don't you believe that lie? And of course, some of us will. Some of us will even die before time. We don't have to. But when you get there, you'll get a revelation. Should have stood for your rights. God is no respect. He is no respecter. How can some people take and activate the Word of God in their life and get results and others can't? The difference is one believes and one doesn't. You have to get yourself into a believing mode. You have to go from little faith to great faith. Boy, the centurion said it so well. My gosh! Jesus, I know You can do it. I'm a man of authority. When people don't respect authority, listen, when people do not respect authority, it's not going to move over into their Christianity, I believe you that. I'll guarantee you that right now. This centurion said, I'm a man that is in a position of authority. And when I tell my soldiers or my men to go do something, they go do it. And I can tell you're a man of authority. And when you say something, you'll do it. Jesus says, I'm marveling. It's so great a faith. See, that's all God wants you to do is trust in His Word and what belongs to you. And convince you, you've got to get out of the little faith mentality. You've got to believe that you can trust in God's Word. You've got to believe that if you're going to go on in life. I had to come to grips with this. I got to believe in this Word. If I'm going to continue on as a pastor, if I'm going to continue on whatever I'm doing, if I'm going to continue on, I got to believe. I got to believe in my Lord. I got to believe that He's going to back. I got to believe in God in me. I can do all things. When you do not believe, if Moses would have rejected or Gideon or David, any one of these men had rejected that, they would have shut God down, not themselves. They're already shut down in the natural. Fear grips the heart of us, all of us. Where are we going to go from here? All just go die. If you got that attitude, go dig a hole in the ground and lay in it. Throw some dirt on you until somebody comes along and kicks the rest in on you. Get it over with. Don't play games with yourself. Get it over with. If that's the kind of faith you got, go ahead and dig the hole and sit in it. But I'll tell you what. If God calls you to go do something, go do it. But you can't do it in your own strength. God spoke to me here, I think it was last night. He said, if I ask you to do something, don't bring yourself into it. I says, well, God, I can't help it. He says, I can't either. God, why do you talk to me this way? You remove everything. God doesn't have a problem with Himself or His Word. It's the vessels He has to use. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for the Word of God today. And Father, I hope I brought encouragement to Your people. Sometimes we have to grab ourselves by the nape of the neck, kick ourselves in our hiney, and move forward. Father, just like when You spoke to them, they gave excuses. You wasn't interested in their excuse. You just said, hey, but I am that I am. What you got? I got this. Well, that's enough. Because there's no limitations to what God can do to our life. And it's this morning, as you're sitting there, and you heard this message, I said, and I preach it just for you to be encouraged. God didn't call you out to the Red Sea with no intentions of parting it for you. He said, even though you go through the water, it will not overtake you. You go through the fire and you won't be burned. God goes one better. You won't even have that stench of smoke on you. You can go lay in the lion's den and curl up with a lion, go to sleep. What a presence of God. I saw Daniel in the lion's den. Saw him just curling up next to a lion, patting his mane and getting it red for his head. And then I saw into the realm of the Spirit, and I saw Jesus standing right there with him. Those lions didn't have a chance. They went to take a bite on him, they'd lose their teeth. They'd be truly Gumby lions. Hallelujah. Praise God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning, and you've come here, you've always been defeated and even wondering whether you were saved or not, and you always felt discouraged and not knowing whether God even has approved you, then you need to be confirmed in your walk with God. You need to be confirmed in your salvation. You need to be born from above. Being born from above is not by works. It's not by good deeds. It's not by good thoughts. It's simply receiving Jesus at His word for your salvation. When you call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. We want to confirm that in you. If you question it, if you've never done it, we want you to do it. We're imploring you to step forward and receive Jesus. And if you're a believer that has broken fellowship with Him, you need to repent and get back into fellowship. That is where your strength comes from. That is the bonding process for the Lord in your life. Whether you do it daily or weekly or monthly, however you schedule it, you need that fellowship with Him. You need that time alone with Him for your strength. So if you've broken fellowship, we want you to restore that. And if you've never been baptized with the Holy Ghost, you do not have the language that brings you into a deeper walk spiritually with God. You've just cut off one of the main sources for that inward anointing in your life. So with those said, I want you to step out now, come forward on that first altar call, because I got my altar ministers here ready to minister with you. So if it fits you in any one of those areas, I want you to come up here right now. Anybody? Hallelujah. Don't hesitate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Kishan. Man, the Spirit of God is coming on me. Hallelujah. There's a young man here. You don't have to come forward if you don't want to. Hallelujah. There's a young man here. You've come forward for the first three, didn't you? One of them. Okay, honey. Okay. We need an altar minister here. Yes, sweetheart. Let's pray. Pray with me. Don't move. Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, man, the Spirit of God's all over you, sweetheart. Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Father, today is going to be a different day for my... What's your name, honey?
Darlene.
Darlene, today, Father, is going away with an assurity in her heart she's never had before, and I thank you for it. Oh, Darlene, hallelujah. You are His darling, I'll tell you that. Hallelujah. Oh, just go with that sweetheart behind you. You're going to be blessed. Hallelujah. There's a young man here. You're here. You're just beginning to experience drugs. The Lord told me to tell you, skull and crossbone are waiting for you. Skull and crossbone. You might as well drink a bottle of poison. But you reject that temptation. You fight it. You resist it with everything that's within you. I don't expect you to come forward, but you fight that thing. Everything that is within you, you fight it. There's several here that you're in sexual situations you have no business being in, and you better get rid of it right now, saith the Lord. Get rid of it right now, saith the Lord. The marriage bed is the only honor that God looks at. God told me to tell you, don't open the door to that. Don't open the door to that. Shut it down. Hallelujah. Young men, women, don't allow complacency or indifference to get into your heart. Because Satan's main goal is to take out the youth, the young people. Stay on fire for God. Fight it with everything that's within you. Because one day you might become a pastor and never have to ever deal with complacency or indifference ever again. Now that I'm in the office of a pastor, I've never had to fight. You know that's a lie. Fight it vehemently all the time. Everything's new in the beginning, but after a while, when you start walking the desert, you know what you're made of. I've always started out with a zeal with God. But with the long term, where did my zeal go? You have to keep your... You know them old water pumps? Get water out of the ground. You have to keep pumping until you get the water. I walked up to one once and I went, shink, shunk, shunk, shink, shunk. Well, there ain't no water in this well. And this guy come up to you and said, that's because you got to keep pumping until you get it. Prime that sucker. And I said, are you sure? He said, I pumped it. He said, how many times did you pump it? Two or three times. He laughed and he says, come here. And he went, chick-a-punk, 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 chick-a-punk. Oh, look at their water. Glory. Who needs healing? Physical healing. Let's get some healing. If you're here and you want to be delivered and set free, I don't want you to come up here unless you expect Jesus to heal you. When your mindset is made up for healing, you're going to get it. How many want your redemptive rights? It's up to you. I'll lay hands on you, but it's up to you for your healing. I'll lay hands on you. You know what? I have confidence that when I lay hands on you, you'll get healed. Why? Because I have confidence to be obedient to do that. But it's your faith that will activate it. You guys ready for that? What part do I have to play in this? I got to believe when I lay hands on you too. Amen? I like my wife last Sunday morning. Doctors gave her a negative report. She was hearing there was a move of God. God says, take your hand off your daughter and put it on your own body. Power of God hit her. She got healed. She was excited about it. Dave Beebe, he preached a sermon hoping we liked it, and there was a move of God in the whole sanctuary. Hallelujah. You believe God can heal you? You want to stand in for somebody by proxy? You too? Okay. Anybody else? Come on over here. Hallelujah. 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 Who's terminal here? Anybody else up here terminal? Who's terminal? We're going to end that. Somebody out there, are you terminal? Has somebody given you a report? Anybody? God's going to do a work here. Hallelujah.
There's a report, but I don't believe it's terminal.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm talking about, when I say terminal, I'm talking about terminal from the doctor's observation, not God's. You guys ready to receive? Are you ready to receive? Are you standing in proxy for somebody that's terminal? Your sister? Anthony? Are they saved? Well, this could be a good witnessing tool, huh? Okay, church, start praying with us. Hallelujah. We're going to let you go in a minute. We're a little long this morning. Father, when I go by and I lay hands on everyone up here, whether they're in proxy for somebody or where they themselves need a heal, oh, glory to God. The presence of God's coming down right now. Presence of God's coming down right now. Presence of God is here right now. The healing power of God is here right now. Hallelujah. Congregation, start praying. Don't be looking, praying. Hallelujah. Presence of God. The presence of God. 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 With presence of God. Hallelujah. Jesus never carried sickness and disease. He conquered it. That means He has given us the same victory. It's ours. Glory to God. It's ours. Sure, Sam. Hallelujah. You guys ready? Are you guys ready? Are you guys ready? Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In that name, hallelujah. We believe that they're going to receive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We've been getting reports all the time about people that have been just divinely healed. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just heard a report late. Somebody got healed of a terminal disease. I think it was a proxy thing. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Razaka, receive in the name of Jesus. From the top of her head to the ball. Oh, kinete zete egete zedete ezegete dezeke de zeke de hindadaba. Dosakala dosekileheda de la kashon de kido horro dosek kedesu. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Or oh, whoo! Glory, 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 glory! Hallelujah! Oh, how do you feel? You feel fine because you came up and got prayer, right? We don't go by what we feel in our body; we go by what we know in our heart. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Dancing! Hallelujah! Shout! Glory! Get a little pep in that step. If you got it, act like you get it. Hallelujah. 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 We serve a good God. We serve a big God. Woo! I like that healing anointing. Okay, with that, you guys are set free till tonight, and then you're back under the Word. We got a special guest tonight. You're going to be blessed. Hallelujah. Oh, wait a minute. Roz has a word. Don't leave yet. You got enough time for it. Seth, he's sitting on our mic. Na 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 no re ya ra 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 ku ya ra
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ooh, yeah. La, 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 la. Oh, yeah, la, 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 la. Oh, yeah, la, 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 la. Ooh, thank you.
Now, don't let me interpret that music. That's a song. Okay, who's got the interpretation? Oh, Lord. I'm not a singer, but I can interpret it. Hallelujah. Nobody's going to step up to the plate. Thus saith the Lord, your God. Thus saith the Lord, your God. As I've spoken in your presence, as I've given you orders, carry them through. For I will see to it that everything I have said to you will come to pass. As I was with Moses and Gideon, as I was with David and Joshua, so shall I be with you. You need to approach the enemy in such great strength, knowing that I will back you in everything that I've sent you to. All my word has been given to you. All my word has been given to you. Everything I intended for you to use is given to you. Use it. Use it. Use it. Use it. Use it. Uriariki. Urishe. Urasakatariata. Ukihatata.
Use it. Don't let it go to waste. Use it. Use it. Use it. Oh, use it. I gave it to you to be active. I gave it to you to do a work. I gave it to you that you can be a conqueror. I gave it to you that you can be a victorian. I gave it to you because I know it. What you need when you need it. So use it. Use it. Use it. Make use of what I have given you.
Well,
I am never too late. I am never too late. I called Lazarus 3 days after he was in the tomb. 3 days after. I am never too late. I will meet you where you are at now. Use and step out on what you have now. If you think you have a little, use a little. Don't plant it in the ground. Don't hide it. If you have more than a little, use it, and I will multiply it. If you have a lot, use it. And I will give you territories. I am never too late. I am with you. I am meeting you where you are at right now. You don't need to feel bad. When a horse walks backwards and doesn't obey, I am with the horse walking, taking it by the hand. I am meeting that horse where it's at. And then I will lead it forward a little step at a time. I will lead you forward a little step at a time. And then when you feel like walking back, I will walk back with you. And then I will lead you forward again a little further. A little further. And each time, a little further, a little further. I am with you where you were at. Use what you have, and it will grow, and you will grow, and many miracles, signs, and wonders will happen in the hearts of all those who need to know me, of all those who are searching for me, of all those who need my healing touch. But you are the one that needs to use what you have a little at a time.
You're free to go. You're dismissed. God bless you. Hallelujah. You're free to go.